Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
The second round is a secret action or dance move. When I first did it, I had to give myself a lap dance, which was kind of weird. And then...
Hello, listeners. I'm JP, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, arts, action sports, and subculture. On today's show, we have a podcast exclusive interview with rapper Evidence. We'll be checking out new music from Handy Capitalist and Secret Abilities, going into the archives with Dead to Me, and doing the weekly calendar rundown with editorial assistant Esther Moronio, and checking out slam poetry with the Put Your Mouth Where the Word Is. We'll also be talking with Jeffrey Stedman of the local Yelp community. Hip-hop artist and producer Evidence is perhaps best known as a member of the Dilated People's Collective, but he recently struck out on his own with a solo release called the Weatherman LP in 2007 and his latest album Cats and Dogs, which was released on September 27th. Slug writer Chris Proctor recently had a chance to call up Evidence and talk to him about his music.
Still draw from my torso for enemies by any means. I've seen what it's worth. Accursed snakes and centipedes, venomous.
You've been called a hip-hop purist a lot of times before in your career, especially with Dilated Peoples. Do you consider yourself to be a purist? And then what do you think that term means to you?
I think everyone has to be in a box, otherwise the earth might fall off its axis, you know? Well, that's the box that they're putting me in. You're right. I'll take it. I'd rather that than a different box. Well, no, really. I guess I wouldn't even say purist. I'm just more stubborn. I came in the game liking a certain sound, and then I just kind of never really, like, changed the band, so to speak. I never fired the drummer, I never fired the guitar player.
Yeah.
Same as a metaphor, you know? And I guess that sound is what's become known as the pure sound for us.
So who were the first artists you listened to when you first discovered hip-hop?
I mean, when I first discovered hip-hop, it was just people who were dancing. I was listening to Paul Hardcastle, you know, 19, and fucking Nucleus Jam on it, The Message, Ellie Mills, things like that. My first kind of tour.
Do you remember when you were first introduced to hip-hop? Like, who introduced you to it and what you first thought of it?
Yeah, I mean, just being at the beach or the Venice Pier and seeing people break dancing, you know, B-Boy and B-Girl and that was my first introduction to it. Then they trying to figure out what the music they were listening to was, and after that, and then seeing, like, you know, Beach Street, Wild Style, Crush Groove, Breaking, One, and those movies really kind of put it all together for me. It wasn't like I lived in the middle of nowhere or something. I left the movie theater and saw what I saw on the movie screen actually happening around my area, my neighborhood, so it was ill because you watch a movie and then that movie is kind of playing itself out to different people in your own neighborhood. Like, who wouldn't want to live a movie? You know what I mean? That's kind of how I saw it.
What was Dilated like before Babu came on board? Because I know that you and Araka started things off. How did you meet DJ Babu, and what was it like bringing him on board? What did he bring to the crew that you didn't have before?
Well, before that, it was like, we still had scratching on our records. It wasn't like we found Babu and then just started getting cut heavy. We were always into that. But it was like, we have a show, we're going to DJ Newmark or Ralph M. on Dubious, or trying to find different people. And because of that, it was always a little impromptu, kind of winging it a little bit. Rocco was always adamant about it. We need a DJ in our group, not just somebody we hire for shows or studio musicians. It was like somebody who needs to be a part of it. And I didn't understand it as much as he did at that time because I was young. I was more like, fuck that. You could just get anyone to scratch, split the money, do it. You know what I mean? I didn't understand it. I was a little young.
Yeah.
But once Babu, the irony of it was that Rocka had been looking at Babu to be our DJ. He had kind of met with Babu and like thrown it kind of like in the environment, but never really like pushed all the way because Rocka's real calculated. Maybe he wasn't ready to ask yet. But when we dropped our Third Degree 12-inch trap beat and Chad heard it, he actually said to me one day, like, what's up? Then I just asked, do you want to do it? He said, yeah. And that was officially it. Once Babu came into the fold, it just took on a different dynamic. First and foremost, Rocka and I are a little off in ages. He's older than I am. Babu was like right in the middle between both of us. So it was good to have that balance. One foot of Babu wants to rock his wisdom, and the other foot wanted to run the Maya Adelaide. You know what I mean? So that was kind of nice to have someone in the middle between us. And our live show really stepped up now.
A sinking boat and only one to survive. Caution at the wheel, west side when I drive slow. First sign of tidal waves when you see the tide low. Wanted for murder and theft, they said I'm liable. I shot the sheriff but didn't steal his rifle. I can't define what's real and what's imagination. Since I signed that deal before my graduation, I went from running track and field to tracks with field to Grammys with Ye before late registration. Who's the one?
I'm listening to Cats and Dogs. I think the track You is one of my favorites off the album, and I think for a lot of people, when the album comes out, it will definitely be a favorite. What was it like working with the legendary DJ Premier on that track?
It was really cool. Still, because I've had a long relationship with him for a long time, and I never asked for it until I was serious about actually doing it. And that means paying for it, doing everything you're supposed to do when you step to Premier. The fact that he gave me an A-list beat, you know, and that he actually gave me two tracks on the album, and that the respect level was there this time around. It was much doper for me. The first time I worked with him on the Dilated album, I think I was just so literally in awe to be in his presence. I wasn't even halfway me. Now I've earned my respect. Well, that's what I have. He gives me that. To me, it was this time it was much more mutual. And I felt the first time where I just was like, whatever you want, dude. You know, first beat you play, I got it. You know, even though this was the first beat he sent me, he didn't send me a lot of tracks. I mean, one beat, and it was this one. And just getting a great beat like that. I played it for Night Wonder and Crisis. Like, what do you think, man? Like, you don't take that shit, motherfucker. So I just went in with my lyrics, tried to do my best. And from what it seems like, everyone seems like I came out focused on that, and I'm blessed. And to do the video, just a visual, to enhance it, is a better thing. You know, I feel like not every track is worth the visual. And that one is definitely worth a visit.
So do you feel like you two collaborate better, make better music now that you have more of a mutual respect and friendship than before when you were more just thinking he was a star?
Yeah, I mean, well, anybody. I think friends make better music than strangers. You know?
Yeah,
I talk to him for years and years, and I go chill with him or go to the studio just to listen to what he's doing and just to sit there and soak up some game. You know what I'm saying? I think when it was time for me to rap, he was like, you know, that it ain't like he's been overzealous. I know he's been wanting it, but obviously now it's time. He's stepping at me right from a blessing. I think you could tell from the way he's cut to the beat he gave me, to the mix he did, showing up in my video, to retweeting me. I just feel like, you know, I really got his co-sign on this, and it's really apparent. I mean, the video, the YouTube amount, I can't even, every time I say it's at 100,000, I log in and it's 140, or in 3 days, you know, like, I'm superseding a lot of things that have taken 6 months, so it's pretty crazy.
So you've collaborated with The Alchemist throughout your career. Both him and Babu are featured on the new album, and even I believe Raka has a presence on it. So what are some of the main differences, in your opinion, between an Evidence album and a Dilated People's album?
My solo record was a time for me to not have to question anything. Things that don't fit on the record, Dilated, I have a chance to vent them. If I've been wanting to rap over a snap for 10 years and Babu and Raka didn't want to rap on it, now I can rap on a snap. That's the metaphor again. It's just freedom. Do what I want without having to wait. And that is negative and positive, because you might catch something without having to get others' approval. Negative, because sometimes your friends, your approval are a great filter, and I'm glad to have those around.
Yeah.
Like, you can jump in the water, but you might go up the deep end. You gotta be careful on the solo record.
Lift off with your head in the clouds, what? Or get lost in the rest of the crowd. Been here for too long, said it's time to ride. Got to push it on, cause I'm
one, two.
Time to come and go. Yes, it's time to ride. Early in the morning.
Yeah. Late for the start.
Been here for too long. Said it's time to ride. Got to push it on. Cause I'm late for the start. Time to come and go. Yes, it's time to fly.
How is it touring with Babu and not having Raka there with you guys on stage? Does it feel different as you're on stage performing when you're on the bus? Is there anything at all like that?
No, for one substantial reason, that I'm not performing Dilated People's material on my solo. So, you know, I'm not living off the comfortability of hit records or, you know, underground hit records or whatever to get me over. So everything I'm doing is off my solo catalog. So for that reason, it's different energy. So whether it's Babu or DJ Mishaps or whoever, DJ Splash, whoever DJ is for me, my solo shit, there's a different light to it. It's not as slam dance oriented, mosh pit oriented, more of it is conversational.
After Cats and Dogs drops, when are you going to be embarking on your first headlining tour as Evidence?
We're working on it right now. Plan is getting me in front of as many faces as possible up until the release and thereafter. So, and then once we've done that, and I've, you know, been out of my comfort zone and rapping for other people's fan bases and whatnot, then we can do my thing where people come to see me, which would be great. that'll be a whole different energy. Right now, I'm about to rock the second leg of the family vacation tour in the next 3 weeks, and then a couple of days off, and then we go to Europe for the first Rhyme Sayers European tour with Ali and Greaves and Budo and everybody. It's going to be so much fun, atmosphere, and I have the direct support on that one as well, right before atmosphere, so that's going to be huge. Come back in December, see where the climate is of the record and how what it's demanding, and plan my first solo U.S. headlining tour. That'll be so cool, so redeeming, you know, to do it, whether it's 50 or 500 or a couple thousand, anything. It'll just be amazing to know who's actually there to see me and what I've been doing. I know everyone will be appreciated. I don't want to be like one of those artists where it's like you start having this sense of entitlement. The game is so tricky and it goes up and down, and I've seen so many people who are on top happy and then come back out of nowhere. And you really just can't rule anybody out. So wherever my place is at that time, it'll be reflected and go hard, and that's what. Stirring only enemies of mercy up to Levian
centipedes unearthing something dirty. That was Slug writer Chris Proctor chatting with Evidence about his latest release. That was a fun interview. Did you have a good time doing that, talking to Evidence?
Yeah, I did. I was a little nervous because at the time he is probably the most famous person I've got to interview. So yeah, I was a little nervous beforehand, but it actually ended up being pretty cool. He's a really cool guy. He's fun to talk to.
And he recently signed with Rhyme Sayers. He was kind of indie before that, and he was working with Dilated Peoples at points as well, right?
Yeah, and then once the contract with Capitol Records was over, the crew kind of just decided to pursue solo careers. They weren't happy with Capitol, so they didn't renew their contract, and then that's how Evidence has got going on his two solo albums.
He's still working with, Babu, right, though?
So Babu produced a number of tracks on the Weatherman LP, which is his first solo album, and Cats and Dogs,
which came out on September 27th.
That's right.
And what did you think about the album?
It was really great, actually. I had only heard bits of the Weatherman LP before this one, and it seemed to be very similar to Dilated Peoples. So I wasn't too sure how this was going to sound, if it was just going to sound like another Dilated album. But it actually is pretty different in a lot of ways. One being DJ Premier produced a couple tracks off the album, and he's pretty legendary as far as that style of hip-hop goes. And so yeah, it sounds way different than Dilated. It sounds a little bit different than the Weatherman, but overall it's really great.
And what was one of the more interesting things you found out in that interview that you didn't know before you went in and talked to Evidence?
I wasn't sure how close he was with the people he was working with, for instance, like DJ Premier and The Alchemist. Apparently he has pretty close personal relationships with those people, so it's pretty cool to kind of hear the music that he can make with his friends.
All right, well, thanks for joining us, Chris. For more info on tour dates and news about Evidence, check him out at rhymesayers.com/evidence. Thanks for joining us, Chris, and good job, man.
Thanks, JP.
Local group Secret Abilities is a mixture of indie pop and garage rock. It started as a trio in 2007 with the original name His Secret Ability Is He Can Hit You From Anywhere. Thankfully, they shortened their name, and they recently released their sophomore album, Love and Monsters. Here's You Won't Wait, a new track from that LP.
You drive me off on a desert road and left me in the dust all alone. Well, I know you left me here to die, but I won't help but think and wonder why. So please, turn around. You won't wait, you won't wait, you won't wait. Cause it's too late to catch up with you now. So turn around. You won't wait, you won't wait, you won't wait. Your love was like a roller coaster ride. We both sat down side by side. You were in the front and I was in the back. So please, turn around. You won't wait, you won't wait, you won't wait. It's too late to catch up with you now. I'll turn around. You won't wait, you won't wait, you won't wait.
check out more music from the band, visit them at secretabilities.weebly.com. And if you'd like to see their album release show at Kilby Court, check it out Saturday, October 22nd. Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp is here with us. We're going to talk a little bit about this interesting online community. I guess first we should explain what Yelp is. What is Yelp, Jeffrey?
Yeah, so Yelp is a website where you connect with great local businesses. You find local businesses on there, see what people have been saying, and then, you know, write your own reviews and really kind of hear kind of the inside scoop on what's going on at different businesses around town.
And just to give a little backstory on you, you're a native Utah?
Born and raised, yep.
So you have a good grasp on all sorts of stuff going on in the state and in the city.
Yeah, it's interesting. I worked out of town a lot and probably traveled 250 days a year. And so I definitely had a good foundation of what was going on. But when I stopped traveling, I came back and really fell back in love with Salt Lake City and just was kind of amazed at the things that are here in town. But, you know, you just have to know where to find them and know, you know, where to look.
And that's where Yelp comes in.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, I get on there all the time. People will write a review of some place, you know, some pho restaurant in West Valley or something. And I'll be like, there's no way that's real. And I'll go out there and it's, I mean, it's absolutely, it's amazing.
And you've been with these guys for about a year as the community manager.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you're involved in helping get the word about Yelp out in the community.
That's it. Spreading the Yelp gospel and just helping locals connect with local businesses and vice versa, helping local businesses connect with our Yelp community here in Salt Lake.
And as I understand it, it's mainly, well, I guess it's not necessarily accessed on your mobile phone, but a lot of people are using it on the mobile phones these days.
Yeah, yeah. So mobile's, I mean, it's not super new to us, but it's something that we, as mobile started to take off, we got into. We have an app on just about any platform, iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, Windows Phone, whatever. We have about 63 million unique visitors to the website every month, and about 5 million people are using the mobile app every month. And that number just skyrockets every month. But as far as reviews go, there's about a million reviews added to the site every 30 days now. So it's just amazing how much people are using it all over the world.
Been some recent expansion. You guys recently moved into your 10th country. Italy, was it?
That's it. That's it. We're in Italy. So we're in a lot of countries in Europe. We have folks on the ground in Australia, but we're not officially, you know, writing reviews and have a community going there yet, but that's coming up real soon. So yeah, people all over the world. I think the thing they have in common is these people to love their cities and love, you know, going out and discovering, and that's what Yelpers do, and that's what the site's all about.
Is that the word, Yelpers?
That's it. We will put Yelp into anything.
Right.
Any way we can use the word, we do it.
You publish a newsletter every month, which people can access at yelp.com/weekly.
Yeah, it's so it's actually every week
it's
I write a newsletter. Go through the, scour the reviews, look for the, like, find some snippets on a topic. So I just recently wrote about new restaurants that have opened in the last 6 months. Wrote about street food, wrote a fun, like, noodle episode, which was, like, you know, all the pasta dishes or Asian noodle houses and stuff like that. So, yeah, once a week I just pick a topic and write about 7 to 9 great businesses and highlight 5 events coming up.
I guess that makes sense that it's a weekly because the link is weekly. It's monthly, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Monthly would be easier because it's, I mean, you know, it's a labor, but it's a labor of love.
And you've got some fun stuff coming up in October, I guess, or is there anything really you want to highlight that's coming up?
Well, you know what? You just stay tuned to yelp.com/events. I'll highlight great events in the community that either we're sponsoring or that I just find out about and want to give a shout out to. We also plan some of our own events. So our most involved users, we call them our elite squad, and we get together with them all the time, about once a month, and just have fun events where we go out and discover local businesses, local restaurants, new bars, whatever it may be. And then, you know, other events just open to anybody. You know, we'll take advantage of downtown dine around, or we'll go geocaching, or, you know, there's some stuff that we've got planned coming up that's pretty cool.
And what's been grabbing you lately around town that's fun and exciting?
Well, yeah, interesting. I've kind of been noticing people get on Yelp, they find out about the great businesses. I find out about a ton of openings through reviews that people are writing, and I've seen, I don't know if I'm ready to call it a trend, but with these bars, some of the newer bars in town, there's a lot of kind of creative things going on with food in these bars. It's not just, you know, open up the bar and pour some liquor. There's some kind of, you know, exciting foodie-ish kind of things going on.
Yeah, there's some new places around town. Even on the west side, there's the Devil's Daughter. They make food.
Yeah, Devil's Daughter is about 5 1/2 south, 5th west, right where Club Orange used to be. They went and totally redid the interior. The owners are Jimmy and Kim, and they are nice, super dedicated to being in the area and creating a great place. But it's again, it's with the food, they have a lot of great barbecue that they do there, and it's
yeah,
not
they have
just
a smoker, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. There, Kelly H is one of our Yelpers, pretty involved in her review. She said, "Cheap drinks, even cheaper food, free pool and darts. What's not to love? This is a bar that's a barbecue place. or is it a barbecue place that's a bar? And I think, I mean, really, you know, they have the bar that's kind of in their main, like, as you enter, you go in, there's a bar there, and they have an upper dining area and an upstairs with games and stuff like that. So it really kind of blurs that line, and the barbecue is really, really good. And they have some amazing specials. Wednesday, they do 33-cent wings, so you get a dozen wings for $4. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's really good. And they also have real darts upstairs, I might add. I went there recently, and it's one of the few bars in town I've seen that still has a real dartboard.
Yeah.
Which is cool. For somebody like me that loves darts, you know, I get really tired of the plastic ones.
Yeah.
Those suck.
Yeah, they're real, because there's holes all over that wall already.
That's true,
but,
yeah.
It's a pretty cool place, and again, the food. Ryan Kay is a big foodie. I don't know if he likes being called a foodie, but he's a kind of a... He's a food blogger in town, and he. This is what he said about Wednesday night, wing night. We went, and again, it was kind of Yelp event. We went and checked it out. He said, "These aren't your Uncle Bob's fried wings. No, sir. These puppies are smoked in their wood smoker and then finished off on the grill. Dusted with just a little bit of seasoning, these pieces of pollo are heavenly perfection. Add that to a bevy of succulent sauces, and you have a winner."
Again, I'm really hungry.
What's that?
Who's this Ryan Kay guy? He's good at the food porn writing.
Right.
That's delicious.
He is. He is. We'll give him a shout out. You can check out Ryan Kay's blog at slceats.com.
And any other bars downtown that are doing the food thing?
Yeah, you guys, Slug Mag for Craft Lake City After Party was at Bourbon House, which is, the official address is 19 East 200 South, kind of underneath the FedEx office in the Walker building there.
They have really good food.
Yeah, it's they're doing this thing with tater tots, right? And I don't know if this was like a delayed reaction to Napoleon Dynamite or if tots are a new food trend. I don't know, but Kelly J went and she said, "We started a tour of tots. We placed an order for the bacon and jalapeno wrapped tots. Heaven. The next thing we decided on was to try Chad's Balls." That's really the name of the dish.
What?
It's called Chad's Ball. It's bacon wrapped jalapenos. They have some sausage cream cheese inside. And then a tour of tots isn't complete without tachos, which they told me is, I guess, their most popular item, which is tots with tomatoes, jalapenos, green onions, black olives, sour cream, guacamole. And then after that, Kelly J said she went for a second round of bacon wrapped tots. So
that sounds, well, I'm a tots guy, of course. You could probably tell.
As I walked in, I could definitely pick that up.
So
I
want to try those for sure. I have tried their Juicy Lucy burger, however, and that's amazing. It's cheese in between two hamburger patties.
Right, quarter pound patties, right?
Yeah, it's a big burger. And when you bite into it, the cheese kind of shot out the side. So it's that delicious.
Nice.
Definitely bring a napkin or a few.
Nice. I mean, they have drinks there for sure. They do, you know, they're true to the name, Bourbon House.
Yeah, they're a bar. They do specialize in bourbon.
Yeah, it's Adam G. It's always been a toss-up between bourbon and the Colonel's Original Recipe, but I'm pretty sure the best thing to ever come from Kentucky was sweet, sweet bourbon. And they do have a lot of bourbons, and if you're the whiskey type, they have a good selection of whiskeys, and it's pretty affordable too. So
it reminds me of the Whiskey Bar in New York. There's a few locations out there, but they mainly specialize in that, and when you go into Bourbon House, you could definitely tell that that's their specialty, because they have tons. They have over 25, I believe, different kinds of bourbon.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. It's kind of hard to find in other bars in town, you know. The variety to them is tequila, vodka, and maybe just a few different kinds of those. But the whiskey and the bourbon at Bourbon House is definitely amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty cool vibe. I mean, I think they're still kind of newish and they're trying to find their crowd. But you know, I mean, when I was down there, it was, you know, just about anybody could be in there and be welcome. I don't feel like, you know, you'd walk in and feel like it was real clicky. So
no, not at all. And they did a great job with the Monk House of Jazz space. So if you've been to Monk's and you kind of missed the location, it's still there. It still has a great atmosphere, and it's, I would say, it's a little classier and a lot better food.
Yeah, some dark wood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, I'm not ready to call it a trend yet, because there are some great bars in town that really just focus on drinks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, the Bar X comes to mind. They're kind of doing some mixy things. They brew their own ginger beer, which I didn't know. But, you know, it's, we'll see what happens in the next little while if that trend continues, where there's a lot of food, you know, in these bars.
And people can read about Bar X, for instance, on Yelp.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you go to Yelp.com, you can search by name for the Bar X, for whatever restaurant, whatever mechanic, doctor that you're looking for, or you can just go in and say, "Hey, I want to find a soup in Kearns."
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that's my example, but you know, who hasn't looked for soup in Kearns?
It's a big soup town.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. But yeah, you search it and you're not finding mangy yellow page ads. You're finding what real people, locals, are saying about. It's like having a concierge in every neighborhood.
Super convenient and super knowledgeable as well.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Jeffrey. We'll have to check in with you in a few more weeks and find out what else is going on in the world of Yelp. But thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Download
Dead to Me is a San Francisco punk band who started in 2003. Slug writer Alex Ortega chatted with Chicken, a member from that band, over the phone before they came through Salt Lake City back in July.
You talked about how Dead to Me likes to bring visual art to the music. I kind of sense that you like to think of your music as art. And what do you think that Dead to Me is bringing to punk right now, aesthetically speaking?
One thing that I appreciate is that, like, people kind of don't ever really fully know what to expect from us. Like,
right.
And I kind of like the fact that we keep people on their toes. And it's not really a conscious effort, but it comes out that way because our interests are all over the board. So it's like, but we grew up punks, and, like, we're still fucking punks. Like,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. Sometimes I wish maybe it'd be nice to have a bank account. Who knows? You know what I mean? But, like,
yeah.
I just, you know, maybe punk's another word for failure. Who knows? I hope not, but.
I don't think so.
I just, me neither, deep down, you know, but it's like, we kind of will always put stuff through our own filter of, like, existence, and it's definitely just, we're interested in keeping things fresh and, like, keeping things new, and it's interesting for us, and then it comes through the music. So it's like, I appreciate us for that. Like, there's so many bands, it's like, you know what you're going to get before you even hear it. And especially nowadays, like, in the world of, like, the internet and MySpace and Facebook and stuff like that, it's like, when I was a kid and, like, you heard about it, you had to, like, get an issue of Maximum Rock and Roll. Mm-hmm. Read a review that said, oh, they kind of sound like Crimson, they kind of sound like Op Ivy mixed with Screeching Weasel, and then you're like, whoa, fuck yeah, that sounds great, I'm going to order their 7-inch, and then you get the 7-inch a couple weeks later, and then you see what the dudes look like, and you're like, whoa, crazy, I didn't know they looked like that, fucking trip out, man, like, look at this artwork. Nowadays, it's like, if you hear a band's name, like, you just told me about that band, I can get online right now and find out what they look like, where they're from, what their music sounds like in a matter of fucking minutes,
yeah.
You know, and I've already consumed their whole entire vibe. And it's like, I like that Dead to Me, you kind of still got to work for us a little bit. Even if you see what we look like and where we're from and hear some of our music, you still don't really know what's up until you see us live. You know what I mean? Like, hear what we have to say, read our lyrics. You can invest in us and get something back where we're not surface level like a lot of punk bands are today.
Right.
You know exactly what you're getting on the surface level. There's not much else to it.
You guys have, like, a different approach to writing music these days?
I can honestly say that the approach to songwriting has always been the same in Dead to Me, which is, like, if it's fun, do it. Because, like, when me and Jack started it was like, we were never even going to be a band that, like, toured, put out records or anything. It was literally just something to do after work that was fun.
Yeah.
And then it turned, you know, then we played some shows around town and, you know, it kind of snowballed and things took off. So we've never really had any, like, preconceptions about, we're a band that sounds like this. And, you know, I think that's reflected in our releases. You know, they all kind of sound a little different, and I'm really proud of that because I say this all the time, but, like, my favorite bands are like that. My favorite bands, none of them, like, their records don't really sound the same, you know?
Yeah.
Ash records don't sound the same. Fugazi records don't sound the same. Jawbreaker records don't sound the same. I'm really proud of that. And so our kind of motto is, if it's fun, do it and leave it and keep it and fuck it.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Like when I wrote X, people were like, what the fuck? And it's just like, yeah, deal with it. I don't know, it's so much fun to play. Like, that's our only rule, is, like, if it's fun to play. And, like, me and my cousin listen to so many different types of music. We love hip-hop. We love reggae, we love ska, like old ska, traditional ska. Like, if it's fun and we can do it and it means something to us and it gives us that feeling in our stomach that we live for, then fuck yeah, keep it.
Over a year later, I'm sure you've had a lot of questions about Jack Dalrymple leaving the band. What reaction do you have to these questions, and what's your take on, you know, people asking about him leaving?
Well, I understand, you know. I mean, he was in the band, and he's not anymore, so I understand why people ask about it, for sure. You know, he's missed, for sure. I think the more, you know, he just was on a different path, man. You know, he got married and he had a kid, and it's just like, he can't be out there touring all the time in a band that doesn't make any money.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's not realistic for his wife or his child. And
right.
I don't know. He's by far the most talented person I've ever played music with. Like, by far. It's not even close. He is the most humble as well. He's the best singer I've ever heard. He's my favorite punk rock singer ever. Yeah, I would always be like, what I was appreciated about him was, like, I'm a terrible fucking singer, man. Like, just straight up, I'm not a good singer. And he would always be like, yeah, dude, but that's your voice. It's awesome. Just own it and, like, have your voice. Let it be your voice. Like, and coming from the dude that's better than everybody else at singing, that meant so much to me. You know what I mean? And so, like, he gave me a lot of strength and a lot of, like, encouragement to just to do this thing. And I was like, man, I can't sing. Why am I trying to be this fucking... I didn't even want to be the singer, but it was like, we didn't have anybody else. And he was singing stuff, and I would come up with, like, vocal melodies and stuff, and I would show him, and he's like, you just do it. And I'd be like, dude, but you do it so much better. And he's like, yeah, I know, but it's your voice, man. Like, you wrote the song. It's got to be your voice or your words. Like, it's got to be your voice.
Right.
And so he just gave me all this encouragement and stuff. So he's missed a lot for sure. But things happen and life goes on. And, you know, so we moved on as a band. It was like we kind of jumped in all, you know, we dove in. Me and my cousin Ian, the drummer, we dove into this band. So it's like we, you know, we had to keep going. So I understand why people would be like, where's Jack? You know, but
yeah.
I'm also really proud of all the other members we've had. Nathan's an extremely talented young man. He's fantastic. He's a really, really, really talented musician, and he's going to be, you know, he's missed just as much, you know? But
right.
I'm also really, really stoked on the guys we have now. I've always been a huge fan of Sam Johnson and his band since I worked at Fat in the mailroom. I used to write those guys, and I geeked out on them. I total fanboyed out on them. I was like, Mexican Disaster Squad rules, man. Like,
right.
Stuff. And so I've always loved his music and his band, so I'm so stoked to be playing in the band with them. And me and Ken Yamazaki played in the MIU together and Western Addiction. And so he was the first friend I ever made in San Francisco back in, like, 1996. He was, like, literally the first person I met in San Francisco.
Wow.
And now being in a band with him all these years later is a really cool feeling. He's known me forever through all my ups and downs and stuff. And, you know, he's a brother for sure. So it's awesome to be able to have him now with us.
Toward Europe. How was that experience?
It's always such a trip to go over there, you know? It's always so crazy because it sounds really obvious, but it's so different than America, like culturally, like especially for a touring band. I mean, in America, it's like you show up at a club 9 times out of 10, it's like, say we're, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, America, and we get to a club, and usually there's some very, very uninterested sound man who's usually underpaid and could really care less about being there.
Right.
Really could care less about your band, and the people that are there kind of don't really give a fuck. And I'm not saying we deserve any type of hospitality, but, like, you know, if you're lucky, you'll get some water and maybe one or two drink tickets. In Europe, it's like you'll be out in the middle of nowhere, Germany, and you show up and they've already got food set up for you, like a bunch of snacks, some coffees, you know, some water, some beer. And then you sound check and the sound guy's like, all right, guys, thanks for being here. We really appreciate you being here. You know, let's do the sound check. What do you guys need? And then you do this full sound check. And then they're like, everything sounds all right, you know? And then you're like, okay, cool. And then they feed you dinner. And then it's this big, giant meal. And then they're like, they always make sure, like a lot of venues over there, they have these things called club flats, which is like where you stay the night, but it's in the club. And there's no, like, clubs in America where you, like, stay at the club.
Right,
you know,
right.
They have, like, beds set up, and they, like, wash sheets. And I don't know, it's, like, this appreciation of, like, people traveling and people playing music where they, like, they want to take care of you. And it's, like, Dead Enemy's not a huge band. It's not like we, you know, it's not like 1,000 kids come to see our shows over there. It's, like, I know these people aren't making a shit ton of money off of a Dead Enemy show, but they're still, like, going out of their way to feed us and make sure we got somewhere to stay. And at the end of the day, that's all you can ever ask for, you know? So as far as the whole culture of playing shows and stuff over there, it's just night and day from America. Whereas in America, they're kind of just like, unless you're huge, they don't give a fuck about you.
Right.
Most times, you know?
I've heard, like, a really similar thing from, like, a Comadre video that I watched. I love to go tour in Europe.
Yeah, it's fantastic, dude. It's really cool. And not to mention just to, like, to see the other cultures and to see the foods they eat and to see the towns they live in and to walk, you know, especially when you're in some of the biggest, bigger cities like Paris, Prague, London, you know, like Berlin. It's like you're literally walking the same streets as some of your favorite authors did 500 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's fucking nuts. It's pretty crazy to just drink it in with your eyes. You're just like, what the fuck? Man, this is nuts. And like, I grew up in a really small town, you know, on a dirt road. And like, I never thought that I would be, you know, like, we were in Red Square a couple weeks ago, man. Like, that still hasn't sunk into me. It's like, growing up in the 80s and seeing all that Cold War imagery and shit, it was just like,
yeah.
I never thought in a million fucking years I'd be in Moscow taking a picture in Red Square with my little cousin. You know what I mean?
Right.
Neighbors,
Dead to Me has a new album due out October 25th called Moscow Penny Ante on Fat Records. You can read the full article Ortega wrote about the band from our July 2011 issue in our archives at slugmag.com. It's time once again to do the weekly calendar rundown with Esther. How you doing, Esther?
Great. How are you doing?
I am great, thank you. Actually, it's the daily weekly calendar rundown, but that just sounds funny.
Daily weekly?
It's named after, of course, our daily calendar section, which you can find in the back of all Slug magazines, and there's a handy little bar on the front page of slugmag.com, and it's also accessible through our iPhone app. Do you have an iPhone? Do you have the app?
No, I have an Android. We talked about this before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course I remember that, Esther. What did you... Well, one day we're going to have an Android app. That's neither here nor there. Let's talk about what's in...
I think it's the Weekly Daily.
The Weekly Daily?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound better?
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Okay.
Speaking of the Weekly Daily, there is a weekday called Tuesday, and October 18th is going to be a pretty awesome version of that Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
Are you excited about this band?
I am really excited about the sounds playing in the venue.
Have you seen them before?
I haven't, but I really like them.
So you're going to go?
Probably, yeah.
I would make that probably a for sure, because it's a really good show. They know what they're doing. They've been touring for over a decade. They're amazing artists.
Are you going to go?
Yeah.
Cool. I'll see you there.
I don't know about this next show, if you're going to get into that or not. Save the Day and Bayside at In the Venue, Wednesday, October 19th.
I totally used to be a Bayside fan.
Oh my gosh, so there's an opportunity. There's a chance.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like seeing The Used again. Disappointing.
I haven't read that article yet, buddy. You make me want to now. And October 19th, what I'll let you do the honors of announcing this event.
Well, it's our photographer Chad Kirkland's birthday, and he's also our next door neighbor at Slug. So happy birthday, Chad.
We don't really sing happy birthday to people, but maybe we can think about that.
Oh, we will
in the
later.
Okay.
We will soon.
Stay tuned for that, I guess, everyone. And there's a show coming up at Velour down in Provo on Thursday, October 20th with Matt Pond, PA, which is going to be pretty good. He's also going to be joined by Mr. Rocky.
Botolato.
Thank you for the pronunciation help on that. It's, I'd say, Botolato.
Botolato.
No, I don't know. I don't think that's right. That's not right at all. And Monday, October 21st.
No. You skipped a day.
Well... Yeah.
Sunday, October 23rd, it just happens to be JP's birthday.
Oh my gosh.
Cue the birthday music.
Is there some?
Happy birthday to you.
Please no. Please no.
Will anyone join me on this, please?
It's the magic of radio. People think it's just you and me. They don't realize there's a whole room of people in here. That would smash the myth.
So, can I ask you how old you're turning? Or is that?
Yeah, I'm turning 22.
22?
Yeah, I'm 22 years young. I look really old for my age.
You're very mature for a 22-year-old.
I'm an old soul, I've been told.
Well, happy all? Birthday, JP.
Well, thank you. No, there's one more event. I try to skip ahead.
There is. Monday, October 24th is Opeth and Catatonia at the Complex.
Have you ever heard of either of those groups?
I have not.
Opeth is actually pretty good.
What kind of band are they?
Opeth is kind of, I would put them in the metal genre, just because I don't know of any other genre to put them in. At least their older music was kind of, I would say it's contemplative metal.
Cool.
Yeah, it makes you think. Exactly, yeah. Right? All right, well, thank you very much, Esther, once more for your time. Very nice of you to stop by, and thank you for the birthday wishes.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Thanks again. Have a good one. Anti-Capitalist is a three-piece punk band who started playing in late 2010. They recorded their debut self-titled EP at Raunch Records, and it was recently remastered by Andy Patterson for a re-release. Here is No Harmony from their album Raw Punk Rock. Yeah! You can pick up a copy of the album at Raunch Records or mail away for one. Send $3 prepaid postage to the band at P.O. Box 521174, SLC UT 84152. And check out more info about the band by searching them on Facebook. Poetry Slam season kicked off in September, and we decided to find out more information about Put Your Mouth Where the Word Is, a local slam that takes place on the last Monday of every month at Moe's Neighborhood Grill in Salt Lake City. Esther Moronio recently had a chance to speak with Cody Winger and Jesse Parent about the event.
So how did you guys get into this?
I do improv comedy, and I do improvised theater, I guess would be a better way to describe that. And so I travel around the nation, and I do performances at festivals, and I teach at festivals, and I was trying to look for a way to do something locally that was more like musical improv, and I couldn't find an improv musician. And so I was watching HBO Deaf Poetry Jam, and saw this group called Flowetry get up, and there was this beautiful pair of women who one would harmonize and the other one would do poetry, and then they loop back and connect at interesting points. And it's just like, this is beautiful. This is exactly what I'm trying to do. So I did this forum called The Hook, which was an improvised musical chorus around improvised poetry that would lead into improvised scene work. And so I got to a certain point. I was named an artistic associate of the Chicago Improv Festival. I was getting like accolades. It was nice, but I didn't know where to go. So I went down to this place called Cup of Joe's, which was down near the Gateway on 2nd South and about 3rd West. They were going to have an improvised poetry slam, and they didn't actually improvise it. I was the only one improvising. So I got to see what was going on, and so I said, well, I'll try writing, and I'm very afraid of writing. So I started writing down stuff. This was 2007. Wrote down some poems, workshopped them online, and then made the team that year. Went to Austin and saw all of what poetry could be. And to me, that was kind of what made it take off.
Yeah, I've always been a writer. When I was younger, I used to write short stories. And then my senior year of high school, my creative writing teacher was really oriented around writing poetry, specifically why, but we'd have very regular poetry writing assignments. And I'd never really written poetry before. And so when I first started writing, I was like, wow, this is really cool. It's a totally different format than short stories. You know, I can be more abstract with it, and I can kind of like paint with my words, you know, as opposed to having to, you know, lay things out like you would with the short stories. Yeah. And also at that time, I was dating a girl who, I grew up a punk rock kid, so I listened to like punk rock and metal, and that was it. And I was totally kind of like stuck in my ways of like, I'm only listening to punk and metal. And so I was dating this girl who listened to hip hop and reggae and stuff like that. So she introduced me to hip hop, and for the first time, I was like willing to listen to it and not immediately shut off to it. And when I started listening to it, I was like, oh wow, this is actual music. There's actual good hip hop out there. So she introduced me to Sage Francis, who's a, you know, conscious hip hop artist and
former slam poet.
Yeah, and former slam poet. And also on his label at the time was Buddy Wakefield, who is a very well known slam and performance poet. And so when I heard
Champion.
When I heard Buddy Wakefield for the first time, I was like, wow, similarly to Jesse's experience with hearing the women who were vocalizing and doing poetry, I was like, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's exactly what I want to do, because I had just found writing poetry, and then I heard this, and I was like, wow, you know, I really wanted to do that. So I started writing poetry more seriously, and then I actually grew up in West Jordan, and I went to an open mic, and for the first time read poems out there. And at their open mic, after they were done, they told me that if I didn't keep the vulgarity out of my poetry, I couldn't come back. And so I was totally pissed and did not want to go back anyway. And then I went and found Cup of Joe's. I was looking for open mics online, and I found, and I figured downtown has got to have a better open mic. And so I was invited to compete in the slam at the Arts Fest, which was the following weekend, and this was in 2009. And then I made the team that year, and then I've been doing it ever since.
So Poetry Slam is, in the mid 80s, this construction worker in Chicago, he's more of a manager, this guy Mark Smith was saying,
So what?
He was saying, you know what, I'm tired of poetry just being in the hands of the academics. I want to give it back to the common people. How do I do that? So they started going to bars and just like getting up on stools and doing poetry. And they're like, how do we get people to listen to poetry? I know, we'll make it look like a competition. So everybody likes competition. So the idea is to go out and get people who've never, ever seen a poetry slam and make them judges. That guarantees five people are paying attention enough where they feel compelled to award points to a poem. The poetry slam itself is constructed in a way that makes it very accessible, very lightweight, and it tries to keep it interesting. So for example, we'll go, well, time limits, so it can't be long and boring. You have scoring that knocks the worst poets, quote unquote, out of the match as you go through the rounds. There's also some things to keep it, there's no music and costumes and nudity to keep it from getting like too weird. And trying to concentrate on the art.
Yeah. So yeah, basically like the rundown of a poetry slam. Most slam, I mean, there's variations and themes and stuff like that, but most slams that are run as PSI runs the poetry slam club, as they run are, you've got any number of poets, it's usually 8 to 10 poets, and they have 3 minutes in a grace period of 10 seconds to perform their own original work. There's no props, no nudity, no musical instruments allowed. So it's basically just you and the mic, and then you perform your poem, and then you're judged on a scale of 1 to 10, 0 to 10, it varies, I guess, but you've got 2 different ways of scoring. There's a cumulative and elimination, and those.
The clean slate.
Or clean slate, yeah, that's what it is. And so yeah, and then it just goes from there, and then the top, however many ours goes, 10, 6, 4, and so you got first, second, third, and fourth place.
Yeah. So there's clearly like an accessibility factor here, where you're saying, look, this isn't just something we're reading, there's a performative aspect to it, so it's theatrical to a degree. And the poetry itself has to be somewhat consumable. Billy Collins, who used to be the poet laureate of the U.S., has a great quote that I like to, I always like to repurpose, that poetry should be an eye chart. Everyone should get the E, but if you squint, you should see a little bit more. And in the poetry slam community, it's really easy to get into the competition aspect of it. And there's this constant mantra of, the points are not the point. The point is the poetry. And you try to keep focus on that, and it is honestly very difficult, especially when you have a national atmosphere that kind of promotes, well, the winners will start to get promoted, and they can use that in their bios and say, look what I did, you know. Or, you know, for example, right now, I'm quote unquote the second ranked poet in the world for performance poetry because I took second place at the world. But that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean I'm better than anybody. It's just an interesting bio quip. But I can name 10 people off the top of my head that I know are hands down better than me, no argument, that are just wonderful people, wonderful poets.
The best way, I always tell people to send me a message on Facebook. That's the best way for me to do it because I post a list on Facebook and I can look and see, you know, if there's like 6 emails, I can see who sent the order that they were sent so that I can put people on the list and then say number 6 is there's no room, then they can sign up for the next month. So you find me on Facebook, it's just Cody, C-O-D-Y, Winger, W-I-N-G-E-R. Send me a message and just put people on the list. There's 10 slots. You can sign up 1 month in advance.
We also have Salt City Indie Arts, which is the umbrella organization that organizes not only the Poetry Slam, but the Music Slam as well, which happens every second Monday of the month. That is actually a slam for musicians, so it's done in a similar format. Solo musicians who compete for a cash prize at the audience, the audience as judges. And it is a cash prize poetry slam. So we take a portion of our proceeds from the door, and we put that towards paying the winner of the slam, as well as if we can get a feature in from out of state who comes in, and then also towards fundraising to send the team to nationals every year.
Cool.
We have fun, and we love, and the one thing I do want to just leave on is we love new voices. We are not an insular organization. We are thrilled to death whenever we see somebody new in the scene. So, if we can get a new person on stage, we will absolutely, like, veterans will usually step out so that they can get somebody else on stage, and it happens all the time. It doesn't happen every time, but it happens a lot.
Yeah, it does. It's unfortunate that in a poetry slam, the judge, I guess it's not really unfortunate because it's sway, but the host can't be, the host can't show any bias, so the host couldn't announce, like, for the first time, you know, like the virgin is what we call, like, in an open mic, the first reader at an open mic, you're like a virgin, you lose your virginity. Can't do that at a slam. If you're not hosting, you know, a lot of the veterans, we definitely try and be as loud and encouraging as possible, whether it be at the slam or not. A, that's how the scene grows. B, that's how you bring new voices, you know, new dynamics, new writing. It pushes us veterans to get better, because now, you know, there's all these kids that are out of high school that are just like whooping our asses and get these slams.
Because they're not doing your tired old crap poem. Yeah. Girl Scout cookies, right? Right?
Yeah. So, we definitely love new voices. New people expanding the community and making us grow and making it grow.
When we did the Arts Fest, there was a great little blog that Bill Frost did, and what I really appreciated was he put in the poets were cheering the loudest for each other. And that's what it should be. And this isn't like competition where everybody's stone-faced crossing their arms and like trying to influence like by not adding their voices to a cheer. It's genuinely loving the other person's art and trying to help out a scene. And that's what it should be. The point is not the points. The point is the poetry.
If you'd like to participate in the slam as a poet, find Cody Winger on Facebook or search for Put Your Mouth Where the Word Is. Thanks for listening to Sound Waves from the Underground. For more information about the music, interviews, and guests from this episode, visit slugmag.com. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or angry thoughts about the show, send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. Our associate producers are Jeanette Moses, Ricky Vigil, Esther Moronio, and Jonathan Paxton. And our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme and music was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Our main logo and art design by T. Doan, technical design from Kate O'Connor, and audio mastering by Andrew Glassett. Special thanks to Adam Sherlock and Eric Tomorrow for their help and support. Make sure you catch us next week when we check in with local group Laserfang, revisit an interview with Thrice, and preview Plan B Theater's Lady Macbeth. See you later.